When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
The way we know we're shrinking is when in our gut, we know we want to do something different.
Yes.
Like, I think that's like the check-in with yourself. Like, am I shrinking? Because there are times when we can step aside to let someone else have whatever it is, right? So we purposely step aside to highlight or sacrifice our, I know, like even with my children, there's some sacrifices that are made, but there's a difference between sacrifice and shrinking who we are.
Yes.
And I think that that's a fine line, and we really need to like look at that, but trusting your gut, trusting that soul, that instinct, because that is something like if we go to the gut instinct, like we can't lose, but we've been trained to just not listen to ourselves and to let the outside world influence everything.
Everyone, if you're looking to be inspired, motivated, educated, and entertained, you have come to the right place. Welcome to the Bomb Mom Podcast, the podcast where we explore your fitness, life mindsets, and actions that help you become unstoppable. You're worth it, and it's time to finally make changes in your life that will last you the rest of your life.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Bomb Mom Podcast. I am Melissa Vogel, your host. Welcome to the show. If you are a returning listener, I am so glad that you are coming back and you are going to recognize some of the voices on this episode with me today. And if you are brand new to the episode, welcome. I'm so happy that you are here. You might have found this podcast because of the other voices that you hear on this episode with me today. We're doing something different. Today's episode is so cool. It is with two of my favorite humans in the whole entire world. Okay, so more on that. First, I hope everyone is having a great January. I'm so proud of all of you that did the Fit Chick Bootcamp this month. Wow. Like, that's all I have to say is wow. Now, with that ending, we always do a boot camp first, and then we either take time off or we jump right into onboarding. And I want to invite all of you, if this is something that you are interested in doing, learn more about, go to the show notes, click on the link, and book a discovery call with me. Send me a message on DM, like however you want to reach out to me. Send me an email at itsmelissavogel@gmail.com. I am here to help and talk with all of you because we are having a new onboarding group for Bomb Mom in February. We do not do this that often. We have an onboarding group maybe like every other month, every third month, which equivalates to only a couple a year. It's not that many. We don't have one every single month. So it's kind of a big deal. And I just wanted to pass that along to you because I know there's a lot of listeners that's like never done a challenge, haven't worked anything, but they're like, I'm ready to get started. Like I'm ready. It's the end of January. And you know what? I haven't freaking done anything yet. And I'm sick and tired of this. Yeah, we need to talk. So you can also go to my website. It's melissavogelfitness.com. And you can get a ton of information there to learn more. But I'm always here, you guys, to have a discovery call if you need it. 15 minutes. We get on the phone, tell me what you're looking for, and we can decide if you are fit for it or not. I'm not everyone's cup of tea. I think we actually say that in the episode today, not me specifically, but like the people that we work with, we're not for everyone. And if I'm not for you and you're not for me, then like, let's not waste time, right? But if there's a possibility that we can work together and I can change your life and rock your world, like, girl, let's do it. Let's do it for sure. I also offer like one-on-one coaching and other things, but we need to see what is a fit for you. Again, you can go to the website. Link is in the show notes. Book a call. Link is in the show notes. And I'm excited for February because we don't open the doors often, and I love onboarding new people. I can't tell you how much I love just watching people change and transform. I get a taste of it in the bootcamp, but it's just not the same. Okay, let's dive into the show because it's a longer one, and we have two amazing guests on. They are my Charlie's Angels. Did you guys notice the title for this podcast? They are my Charlie's Angels. We have Dr. Anna Marie Frank on and Dr. Janine Krause on. Now, they both have been on the podcast before. I have been on Dr. Anna Marie's podcast. I've been on Dr. Janine's podcast. They're just brilliant humans. I freaking love them. So we were talking, I think it was Dr. Janine and I, we were talking after our podcast and we're like, we need to do like a whole like master podcast together and with Dr. Anna Marie. And so we're like, that's a good idea. And then we emailed, we got a date on the calendar and we just did it. It is a great conversation about comparison, about Ozempic. Dr. Janine really breaks that down for us, where we shrink in our lives. We share vulnerable stories like this episode. I didn't tell them, but I almost cried like twice. It's such a good episode and a good conversation with powerhouse women that are here to help you live your best life ever. So go to the show notes. We'll put a link to how you can connect with them, listen to their podcast, all of it. All of it will be there for you. And if you ever have questions, again, email us. It's melissavogel@gmail.com. We are here to help. All right, everyone, enjoy the show.
Hi, friends. We are here as a group and we are going to be putting this out on three different podcast platforms. Well, not three podcast platforms, three different podcasts. I'm Dr. Anna Marie, and I'm the host of the Happy Whole You podcast.
And I am Melissa Vogel. I am the host of the Bomb Mom podcast.
And I'm Dr. Janine Krause, host of the Health Fix podcast.
And all of us ladies came together because of the algorithms and the universe just saying, hey, we need three amazing women to come together. And that is what has happened. We've all been on each other's podcasts. And today we wanted to talk about things that we see in our professional lives that are trending. So for me, I'm a doctor of traditional naturopathy, have a holistic wellness center in Bakersfield, California. I'm a keynote speaker, author, and podcast host. And so I'm going to share what I see in my wheelhouse. And then Melissa?
Yeah, I am a health and fitness coach. So I do a lot of the training physically, mentally, emotionally, all of it. I bring it all together. And the things that I'm seeing right now with my clients, it's unbelievable. It's kind of mind-blowing. And I agree. I love that we're going to talk about this today and just share like our wisdom with everyone and what we're seeing. And then really help women feel validated and then like shut down the negative too of being like, oh my God, I was thinking that, or I do see that too.
Yeah. Dr. Janine Krause here, doctor of naturopathic medicine and acupuncture, and also obviously podcast host and dabble in all things medicine. So many things going on. And on my side, because I work out of a practice that's in Tacoma, Washington, I prescribe. And so seeing on the GLP-1 bandwagon and the Ozempics and all of that, I definitely have some things to weigh in on how this is all impacting us and where we're headed with health and how we can help you all survive the crazy. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really does take a village. And this is what I love about all of us coming together is, Dr. Janine, you have the whole medical background with combined with holistic and Chinese medicine, which is like, oh my gosh, so great. And then Melissa, you're like, hey, we're going to get fit, but we're working on your mindset at the same time, right? Like, it's just like that mind, body, spirit. And then I come in as jack of all trades, I feel like, with like, goals and mindset and brain health. And so I feel like between the three of us, we could all solve each other's problems, you know?
We could have ran for president, like all three of us together. We're like three heads. Like we're just going to take over the world.
As one. Oh my gosh. Okay. So before we got recording, we started talking about the things that we are seeing trending. And so Dr. Janine, do you want to jump in? Because your thing that you see trending is a huge topic when it comes to weight loss. And Melissa and I are going to sit back and learn some stuff right now.
Oh, I'm like excited. We were chatting about this before we hit record and I'm like writing it down and stuff. I'm like, yes, I want to know more about this, please. And I know my listeners will too.
Yeah. Yeah. So the GLP-1s, the Ozempics, the Mounjaros, the Wegovys, the Zepbounds, whatever name is going on right now. There's so many. All these things people are asking for them, right? And they're asking because they're like, hey, I've tried all the things. I'm going to use air quotes.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
And
there's
the
always more.
Right. There's always more. But the truth is like so many people, I do feel for them. I know that they've put in a lot of effort. Life is hard. Right. And I even sometimes hate saying that because I think your life is what you make it. But at the same time, we hear these statements. Right. And sometimes you just got to go, okay, let me help someone. Let me intervene with this and let's see how we do. The rules in my office, if you're getting a GLP-1 from me, you are eating your protein. You are working out. You're drinking your water. We're detoxing you because once you start losing that weight, you are not going to feel great. And they're not talking about the detox component of that. And that's what I think the Ozempic butt and face are. That's not, I don't think it's like as much muscle wasting per se as they're saying and blaming on that. That's antioxidant decline because your body's fighting really hard to deal with the
right
that are building up. And so there's that happening. But the last and most important thing, and this is where Melissa comes in, this is where Dr. Anna Marie comes in, because she's having people write, you know, about what's going on in their minds. We are not addressing the mind part of this. And I get that it's the hardest part. And in my practice, I am not trained to deal, you know, we're trained as like to counsel and things like that as naturopaths, but I don't feel well-versed enough. And I'll be honest, I have a lot of issues in my history about weight and eating and this and that. And I'm like, dude, no one wants me counseling them on weight loss. And so it's like, I want other people to come in and help. So the non-negotiable that I'm trying to work with folks on is like, we really need to look at like, when you're off this stuff, guess what's going to happen? All that stuff's going to, the food noise is going to come back. I've seen it when we've pulled people off of it already. This isn't just like the miracle drug and everything's going to be fixed. It is not a fix. It is a Band-Aid, get the weight down, but you got to work on your stuff. And so this is the one thing that a lot of people, I think, are confused. They're looking at it as a magic and they're thinking like, no way, I'll have enough time without the food noise that when it comes off, it's going to be fine. Or I can microdose it to eternity, which you can. But the other issue, back and forth with the FDA, is there a shortage? Is there not? And it's like freaking breaking Fort Knox to get insurances to cover this for people that need to just lose weight and they don't have diabetes. And I think we've put out too much on there that like, oh, you can totally get it from your insurance.
Yeah.
Ask a doc that has to try to do the referrals for it. I'm like, it's impossible. So
it reminds me, like, do you remember when, I hate to use the word popular, but do you remember when like getting your stomachs stapled and, you know, the gastric bypass, like all of that was more popular? What? I don't know, like 15 years ago or so. I don't know. Maybe not even that long. And it reminds me of that because now what I see and everything that you're saying is like, okay, yeah, quick fix, staple. But this wasn't fixed, you know, your head. Yeah. And now I see people that they're like, yeah, you know, I had gastro done 10 years ago and they're right back to where they were, or they're like very close and they're on that path. And they're like, but I don't get it. I don't understand. I'm like, well, not to be cruel, but like you cheated in a way.
Well, I think too, my dad went and had gastric bypass. And so, I mean, I witnessed this firsthand and he has gained the weight back, but like with him, it's, he's never addressed the mental and emotional aspect. And, you know, sometimes we need a jump start. Sometimes we need something. And sometimes for sure, people's jump start is literally gastric bypass or an overhaul, but it should be paired with the mental health support and behavior health changes. And I know that with insurance companies, they're supposed to take some classes and stuff, but it's not robust or anything like that. So I think too, for women out there, you know, even men that are going the Ozempic route, say you're on it, say you've lost the weight and you're feeling fantastic. If you haven't addressed the mental aspect of this, like just hire a coach, hire Melissa, get someone to help you with your mindset and you'll be better off for that. But I think a lot of times it's like chasing the carrot. Oh, well, if I lose the weight, then I'll feel, right?
Exactly. If I could just lose the weight.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just be thinner. If I could just fit those jeans that I've been staring at that have been in my closet since in high school.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I started off as a personal trainer, actually as a group fitness instructor, then personal trainer. And one of the reasons that I veered away from that and started really developing into the nutrition and the mental health aspect is because I was realizing I was helping people lose weight, but they still weren't happy.
Yep.
So, and I think more people like Melissa are like, no, we're doing both now, which is great. And I was wondering though, Janine, like Dr. Janine, what is the rice and oat Ozempic? What is
that? Yes.
Melissa, what is that all about? What's happening here? Can you explain that to us?
Oh man, you know, if you want good entertainment as a, you know, medical or fitness professional, just hang out on TikTok for like a couple minutes. Like all of the quick fixes, all of like the herbal medicine tweaks. I laugh. Like it's, you know, some are legit, but like some you're just like, seriously? So Ozempic is an oat drink that you drink to slow down gastric emptying, which oats do that, no doubt. But like, why would you not just eat the oatmeal? Because I'm pretty sure nobody ever became, you know, diabetic by eating oatmeal, you know? So I'm like, well, I thought about that one. No one that has gained a lot of weight got there because they ate oatmeal. And so that one was one. And then the rice Ozempic is also a drink. But rice, when you like literally try to extract like horchata, which is a typical traditional Latino drink, like there's higher levels of arsenic in these things because we're extracting what's in the rice and what's been hanging out in the rice. And so arsenic suppresses your appetite. And as Dr. Anna Marie mentioned, it is a neurotoxin. These things, like, I'm like, well, okay, so it works like that and it can be effective, sure, but at what cost? And why not just eat the food?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like eating.
Eating's nice.
Yes. I know. Protein, fiber. Those are the two staples that we all need to eat more of, I swear.
I know. And it's, people say that to me all the time of like, they're like, I just don't want to. I want you to tell me what to do. I just need like a quick fix. And I don't think people grasp the concept of how important it is to learn how to eat the right foods that you like, that work with your gut, that's going to get you results, but also make you feel good and satisfied and full. And it's so sad, but that, I mean, honestly, it's one of the trending things that I see all the time is they're like, just give me meal plan. Now, some people do need a kick in the butt. Yeah, some people do need like, oh girl, you are a mess. You really don't know what to eat. And she's like, is pizza healthy? And she's being serious.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. People.
Okay. Let's give you some structure, honey.
Yeah.
But not for life. This isn't something I want you on for life, but
yeah,
just learn to eat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And people do have a challenging relationship with food.
Yes.
I think totally that,
acknowledge that.
Yes. And I actually was just interviewing another woman who actually needs to go on both of your podcasts. She's fantastic. And her name is Jennifer Woodward. And we were talking about digestion. And digestion actually begins when you start thinking about food. Which, when you start thinking about food, saliva starts to increase in the mouth. Your stomach starts to recruit these digestive enzymes. It's this whole beautiful symphony that happens. And then you eat the food and your body converts it and digests it. And that's how it's supposed to go. But when we're like, oh, I'm going to eat that. Oh, no, I'm not going to eat that. Oh, maybe I should. No, maybe that's going to make me fat. Your body's like, what are we doing here? What's happening? And then when you eat the food, even if it's decent food, your body doesn't process it and digest it as efficiently. And so we really need to work on mindful eating and having a better relationship with food. And I don't know at what point that we started viewing food as fat or skinny.
Yeah.
As fuel. Because that's a huge mistake that we've done, and demonizing food.
Mm-hmm. And good and bad. I had someone call carrots bad the other day. And I'm like,
yeah.
Again, I don't know anyone that got fat off of carrots. And I'm like, why would you ever deny yourself such an amazing food that grows from the ground that is chock full of vitamins?
Yes. Yeah.
Color.
Yeah. Yeah. That, bananas. You know, I mean, the whole glycemic index thing, honestly, I look at it and I go, whoever created that, it's like the same person who created the scale. Like, we both, like, I don't know what you were thinking, but you created a monster. Let's put it that way. Like, I'm sure you were well-intended, but at this point, us ladies took it and we just ran with it.
I know. The good and the bad. And the more that we can disconnect that, like, a food is bad, or something is good, you know, and then people, like, they get so trapped in their head and they just twist it all up. And then they're like, now food stresses me out, which it's interesting you say that, Dr. Anna, that like that affects how you're breaking down food. It's just fascinating how like your mind affects your gut.
Yeah.
Completely. And your gut affects your mind. They're so interconnected.
They really are. They really are. So Dr. Janine, is there anything that you want to share with everyone about the Ozempic and all of that? Like, one, this is what you should be careful of. Two, what you could try maybe instead, or say your insurance won't cover it anymore and you're getting off of it. Like, what do we do here?
Yeah. The bottom line is it works, right? The people who are on TV are not TV. I'm old school. Media to me is TV, IG is TV of versions, but it works, right? It, yes. The things do work. And there is a lot of benefit to helping get a kick in the pants or something started. But if you're coming off of it, you have to understand that what you just did was a Band-Aid. It is not fixing anything. So this is where, like you had said, Dr. Anna Marie, this is where we hire people like Melissa. And we have someone actually looking at like, okay, who's the new you now, right? How are we moving forward? Because it's a Band-Aid. And that's the biggest thing I want people to understand is like, it is a Band-Aid. And if you haven't done any detox work, and I'm talking cellular detox, if you've not sweated, you don't have a red light therapy, you didn't use St. John's wort is an amazing way to get stuff out of your cells. And some people can't use it because they're on other pharmaceutical stuff. But if you haven't, you want to be thinking about using, you know, that to get things further out of the cells in addition to your liver herbs and things of that nature. And I'm not talking like a colon blow cleanse. Yeah. I'm talking like
cellular.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
We're not talking. Yeah. We need people like Dr. Anna Marie to take you through the cleansing part as you're working with Melissa. Mm-hmm. And now you've got it like perfectly dialed in there. And really the only other thing that I'd be saying about it is the component of how it impacts the thyroid. You know how the contraindication is if anyone's had like thyroid cancer in the family, if anyone's had any thyroid stuff, you want to think about it. You really want to think long and hard because I haven't seen anybody go to thyroid cancer, but I have seen thyroid numbers shift. Mm-hmm. And you could say like, oh, someone's getting healthier and they're losing weight. Yes, but I've seen a couple weird tweaks that I haven't like seen anyone else map out or talk about that kind of worry me a little bit. And I think it has to do with the detoxing of the cells. And I think it's a cell detox thing. So that's the only other thing that I would be like, you've got thyroid issues right now. You might want to see somebody like Melissa or Dr. Anna Marie and work on let's work on restoring body health a little bit. And then if we can't get anywhere, then.
Yeah. And the other thing is too, is like anything with like cancers and disease, it's not like it happens overnight. And we now have like, I know Ozempic's been around for a while, but we've had like now this huge push of a mass group of people that are now on Ozempic that weren't before. And I think it's like 5.4 years or 5 years and 4 months is on average what it takes a pharmaceutical company to come out and say, yeah, this causes blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Or yeah, we made a mistake. And then they get a slap on the wrist and, you know, but the damage has been done. So yeah, I think it's important
So we don't really know yet. We really don't know with mass people.
Yeah. Who knows?
Taking it, the effects. I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily, I will say this, in the fitness industry, and I'm talking about bikini fitness, like fitness shows and all that, I have used the GLP-1s like for a while because they've been around in the research peptides site, you know, department, as we would call them, especially like liraglutide and those. And so I have used them with those folks. I've not seen any negative outcomes. However, if I look at all the people I used them on and I look at their health now, this seems how terrible. Probably like
give it to us.
8 out of 10 people who do fitness competitions end because they deplete themselves so much, they end up quite a bit overweight when it comes to 3 years after if they quit the cycle of doing fitness comps. Mm-hmm. And I have one gal in my practice who like literally gained 200 pounds after a fitness comp and we still can't get it off. And I say we because we've been working mindset, we've been working on different things. Yes, there's a lot there. She has a lot to work with. But this is what concerns me about it. It is back to the habit, behavior, routine, mindset, because I think that's the missing link at the end of the day. So that was all I want to get out there on the far end of things, because I've been using it for a while in the fitness comp, folks.
Mm-hmm. That is such an extreme. It's and everyone always asks me like, oh, are you training for a competition? Or when are you going to take the stage? I don't think I ever will. I have no desire to take my body to that extreme. And I know myself. In my past, in my history with body image issues and things like that, I will forever compare myself to like, that's my peak. And if I'm not there and at that peak, then I'm not good. Like, and I don't want to see pictures of me ripped on a stage. And then 4 years later, I don't look like that, but I still look fabulous. But that's what I compare myself to. Yeah. Then my health and fitness at that level is not good enough.
And women already do that. Women are like, oh man,
already?
When I was in college, you know, it's that saying, I've seen it a few times on social media, like, oh yeah, I used to think I was fat back then. You know, like, it's like, we just need to love our bodies today.
Yes.
Like, no matter what, we need to love our bodies today. I mean, I know it took me giving birth to two amazing kids to really appreciate my body and the flaws, the scars, the whatevers, the jiggly parts. Like before that, it was like, I mean, I know I had body dysmorphia because I literally would look in the mirror and see something completely different. Now, if I see a photo of me back then, I'm like, wow, you were incredible. But back then I didn't think that, which is really interesting to me. But yeah.
It's like always chasing the carrot. Like, when are you ever going to be good enough then?
Yeah. Yeah.
When do you hit that? You know, and while you're chasing it, you're just depleting so much self-esteem and self-worth and not even diving into like the nutrients, you know, and what you're doing to your chemicals and your hormones of just like never being good enough, never being satisfied and happy.
Yeah. It's crazy. And that goes into, Melissa, the comparison. So one of the trends, share with everyone what you've been seeing quite a bit of with your practice.
Oh my God. I say it like comparison. It's the root of all evil. Yeah. I know that saying is like interchangeable with so many things, but man, comparison, I feel like is just killing females nowadays. And I don't mean like literally, I just mean like our self-esteem, our self-worth, our energy, like how we vibrate, like everything. It's bringing us down because we will see someone on social media. It's glued to that phone. It's destroying us. And we see someone and then we're like, oh, well, I can't do that. Or I should be better than her. You know, I only have two kids and she's got five and she looks better than me. I am seeing so much comparison from woman to woman. And we never know if that woman is in her chapter 10. And you're just in your chapter one, and we compare these chapters, and I'm like, you don't even know what chapter she's in, but it's real. And I do this too. Like, I go into the gym and I'll see someone squatting next to me, and I'm like, got my 10s on, and I'm only doing 45 pounds, you know, or 65 pounds, because that's what my body and my back allows now. And I'm over that, but I'm like, she can lift more than me. You know, and then I look at her and I'm like, okay, she's probably 20. Okay, she's probably never had any kids. Okay, she's also 5'4" and I'm 5'9". Okay, it's starting to make sense now. You know, and I try to like rationalize it in my brain, but this just bombarding of like this, the images that we see all the time of just perfection and spray tan and filtered life, it's killing us. And I put a post out today. I made sure to do a post today about me eating ice cream on my counter. Of like, that is real life. Like, it is okay to eat that. You don't have to live and eat perfectly to feel good and to be healthy. It's all about balance. But I want people to see that, you know, and it's very overwhelming to deal with it all the time on a daily basis of, well, my stomach doesn't look like hers. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't run as fast as her. Well, my relationship doesn't look like that. And it's just content after content after content. And it just keeps getting worse. And I don't know how that's ever going to slow down either with all the different platforms out there that we're constantly scrolling. It's like, we have to just have conversations like this to help people be aware of when it happens, you have to put a hard stop in place.
Well, and this is something I've learned from myself, because I literally have compared myself and had like poor me moments. Mm-hmm. Hundreds of thousands of times in my life. But one thing that I feel that has helped me really get through it, and it's not completely gone, is when we are in alignment with who we know we are meant to be and living in our purpose, those comparison moments really are far few and in between and fade pretty quickly. But I will say, I'm going to share a story with you guys that this is like so stupid, like looking back, but it was
really. Give it, girl. Let's hear it.
So I just took this course. And I had like class like for 3 hours every week. And there's some amazing women in that group. And I reached out to some of them to see, you know, if they want to be on the podcast, and found out some of them had a podcast. And I was like, hey, let's do a podcast swap. You guys know how that goes, right? Mm-hmm. And one person in the group that I was doing this with, that I asked, was like, oh, I need to make sure I vet you. This is after we've been in the course for 8 weeks. And I was like, oh, okay. But she was already signed up to be on my podcast, which is fine. I don't bring people on my podcast just so I can go on theirs. It's not how I roll, you know?
Right.
And so I was like, okay, yeah, I don't know how much more to vet me, but okay. And I literally, when I found this out, because my assistant told me, I felt so small and actually embarrassed. And that's my ego, right? And my assistant's like, she needs to vet you. I'm not sure what that means, but she's going to come on your podcast. And I literally sat in my car and I started crying. I'm like, at what point, like, I don't know. Like, sometimes I just feel, and that's like the younger little 8-year-old in me. I'm not good enough. People don't like me. You know, when am I going to have a turn to, you know, for people to see me for who I am? Like, all these emotions, right? And then what's crazy is, so I sat through that, cried in my car, and then I'm like, got focused on like what I'm doing in my life. I'm like, this is so silly. But then I was like, I got triggered again, like 2 weeks later, because I noticed she had two other people from our group on her podcast. So I was like,
this bitch.
Well, I was just like, oh my gosh. And I was like, I had to like, for that initial moment, I had that sinking in my stomach, right? Mm-hmm. You guys know what I'm talking about, where you feel like envious, jealous, like I'm not good enough. And then after I like saw it, I started laughing out loud. I made myself laugh out loud because I had to reprogram that wiring in my brain, because it was like, girl, like I've had you two on my, I mean, I've interviewed so many amazing people on my podcast. Okay. I've been on amazing podcasts. Like everything is fine, but it's so interesting how we can get caught in those moments of comparison. And I think the moments of comparison, or like, I think that's more of a rejection that I was experiencing. Mm. That rejection is like, that is not my heart. I never want someone to feel like, one, I don't have time for them, or that I don't find value in their knowledge and who they are and witness what they do. So anyways, but the comparison thing is for all of us, even if we're living in our purpose and all that, it still comes up. But I'm telling you, it's way easier to get through when you're doing the things you say you're going to do, mm-hmm. and you're staying focused on your future self and who it is that you're working towards.
Can I just say bravo for crying in your car and feeling like, seriously, you're like moving all of it. You allowed yourself that time and that space instead of just being like, nope, this is stupid. Dismiss, you know, cancel, like,
yeah,
grow up.
I know. I'm like, here I am, 42 years old, just crying in my car because someone rejected me. But, you know, that's life. This is emotions.
That is life.
You know?
Yeah, and you used your growth and who you are and your knowledge and everything that you do to pull yourself out of that. You know, that's the important thing. And I love that message that, yes, this, it even hurts us. We're not Wonder Women. Like, we're pretty spectacular, but like, come on, like we have feelings too. And this happens all the time. And you moved it. Like, what a powerful story. I love hearing that. I love hearing that you cried in your car.
Well, and that's the story I told myself too, by the way, because who knows what her story is, right? Who knows?
That's true.
It's true. I always have to like think about that too when these things happen. And like, just to get back to the crying in the car, like, best place ever. I've had some good big crocodile tear cries. I'm like,
yeah.
Yes.
But like, you know, like you said, you looked at it and you were like, okay, this is what's happening. This is my 8-year-old self. And this is where so many women, if we just step back a second, take the time to cry in the car. That's my advice.
Absolutely.
To cry in the car. And then like, be like, this is why this is happening. Mm-hmm. This is why.
Yeah.
The more we can look within, the more we can really see like, oh, shoot.
And instead of it being like them and me, it's like, why can't it be us? Right? Like, that's the other thing is like, when we look even to people that like, we could all look like we're kind of in competition with each other. Right? I'm going to use that like very loosely, because I look at it as we should be in collaboration over competition every day of the week. But we live in a culture that's like competitive, competitive, mm-hmm. competitive. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, when we can come together and actually lift each other up and share our knowledge, because listen, I'm not for everyone, right? Melissa, you're not for everyone. Dr. Janine, you're not for everyone. Like, we get that. And we don't want to be like, I don't want everyone to be my customer, because that's, and everyone's not going to want to be my customer. I want like the people that are going to actually take the things that I bring to them and take it all the way. Give me 10 people like that. Versus 500 people that come and go as they please. Like, I want to create those relationships and go deep with people. And I think that that's really important to think about and find those people that you can go deep with.
Mm-hmm. And then share them. Like, continue on. Like, just kind of riding on the coattails of that. Of like, that's why I love having people like you guys on the podcast. Because I'm like, I am not everything. You need to go work with her. And you need to continue this journey with her. And then you need to go work with someone with Reiki and energy. And then you need to get this tested. And that's a beautiful thing. I know people might listen to that and go like, oh my God, but this is so much. Like, I'm so overwhelmed. Do I really need to do all of these things? Can I just eat chicken and get on my treadmill every day? Unfortunately, the world that we live in and the toxic soup environment that we just swim in every single day, no, we are in a position now that we have to look at all of these different areas of our life. And thank God we have technology to connect us with other people. And yeah. Thank God that we now have all this knowledge and are open to learning about our energy, you know, and how we vibrate and connecting with other people. I don't look at it as so many things that we have to do. I look at it as like, oh my God, no, tell me more. What else can I do to live my best life ever?
I want to do all the fun things.
All the fun things.
So what type of advice do you guys have for people that are in that comparison arena? Like, what are some tips to like work through that you have?
Man, I mean, car cries, step one.
Step one.
Yeah, shower cries, those work as well. Bathroom, like anytime you can get a little, walks. I've had some really good cries on walks as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. While swimming, because people can't tell. That's another one. You're swimming. Sort of thing. But really, it's letting it out, but then finding a tribe. That's kind of where I found the most like helpfulness. Like, hey, do you ever think about this? And like, it's good for me to hear you guys talk about it too, because we all do the comparison game, and we do it in different ways. And having your ladies that you can be like, oh, did you ever have this where like someone got their new car and they put it on social media and I can't get a new car right now. So
right.
You know, like, has that ever happened? Or, you know, I mean, it's all kinds of things. It's all kinds of things, right? Like, you know, having your tribe, that's one of my other big things. And journaling, like you had said, like what's bringing up, like, I think for me, the biggest thing that's happened in my transformation of being like a very like closed off doctor to now like a more awake doctor is writing down like, oh, I saw that girl on Instagram who had lost like 40 pounds and she was super ripped and she was doing all these cool calisthenic things and I can't do all that. And she's like 60 and I'm 46 and this isn't cool. And where am I going to start to be able to do this? So once you start yourself spiraling on these thoughts that are a little bit weird, maybe, or a little bit, to me, I'm going to say weird, then you write it down and you go, what is this? What is this? And taking the time to slow down and ask what it is. That's what I'll say.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Mine is like, figure out the facts, find the facts in that situation.
Yes.
Like me squatting next to a girl next to it. That is one thing that like helps me like, okay, how old is she? Like, how old do you think she is? Okay. Again, I'm just figuring out what chapter she's probably in. And
right.
Kids, height, age, weight, you know, like all of the things. Those are kind of facts. I'm 5'9". I'm not a small fry. You know, I've had 3 large babies. I'm not in my 20s. Like, okay, all of these things, that those are facts. Finding facts in situations always help. Also, know what are your goals? Like, what are you working towards? And that could be with motherhood, like, or anything. Like, if you see a mom that's always has a warm treat made for her child at home every single day, and then you look at that and you're like, oh my God, well, I'm a bad mom now. I don't provide that. And you're like comparing. Okay, but is your goal to be at home every day at 3 o'clock and to do that, to work on that? Or is your goal to get as much work as you've done before 5, before dinner, so you can be there to make dinner and be present for the rest of the evening? Like, what are you working towards? And I love that because it goes so hand in hand with fitness too. Like, if I look at someone who I know, a friend who is competing, like she, and I see her stuff and I'm like, oh my God, you know, and she is competing, she's working on that. That's her goal. My goal isn't to get on stage. My training isn't going to look at hers. So it's like, Melissa, calm the fuck down, because like, that's not your goal. So why are you getting mad and comparing and jealous over what she's doing? That's her path. Yeah, you know, that's right. Hers. So yeah, find the facts. Know what your goal is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's so good. I always say it's like you bottom line it, because we always make up the story around things. Like the whole story of what I made up was that I'm not good enough and I have to be like vetted and like I'm a nobody. And then it's like, that's not true. All she said is she needs to vet me to decide if she wants to bring me on the podcast. That's it.
Uh-huh.
Like that's literally what happened. And I made it mean all of these things, right? And we do that all the time. Like we always do that. So I would encourage anyone that's out there that you're upset about something and like literally go in and bottom line it. The facts are what really happened. not the story that you're making up. And when you can like bottom line it, you can like literally we can laugh at ourselves, be like, yeah, and I made that mean everything till I was 8 years old. Not that it doesn't discount how it makes you feel, but it helps you get to the other side of that.
Yes.
Out of the limbic brain, into the prefrontal cortex. And then it's like, okay, now I can move through this, which is really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I love us so much.
We have a lot of answers.
So many. I'm telling you, we could be president together.
Mm-hmm. The trifecta. Seriously.
That would be terrifying, though.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. The whole, like, you know, other dignitary situation. Three of us show up. It's like, Charlie's Angels here to serve.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So good.
I think we can handle it. We can figure it out.
Totally could. Yeah. I have confidence in us a lot. Okay. So, one, we need a quick comparing. Two, if we're on a weight loss journey, we have to work on our mindset. As just as much as the weight loss. Anything else that you guys come up for you?
The only other topic that I wanted to just make sure we brought up, because this is another thing that I see often, is we shrink. It's a big thing.
Sister, preach.
Right. And like, it can look so different. It really can rear its ugly head in so many different ways. Like just not setting up clear boundaries, not having crucial conversations with your partner or your spouse when you need them to show up and make dinner tonight because you have to have this done, or like, hey, I need you to take over this for 3 nights a week, or whatever that is, whatever that looks like. That's a form of shrinking.
Yeah.
That's the boundaries, not having hard conversations, not telling grandma and grandpa to don't bring pizza over every Friday night. I don't need it. The kids don't need it. And we're like, oh, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Look how small you just got.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I could give like 30,000 examples of how we shrink. A lot of women just think that and they hear shrinking and they're just like, oh, I didn't speak up, right? It means when I don't speak up for myself. No, shrinkage.
Only allow things to.
When you don't show up at the gym and you're like, I swear I'm going to start today. Mm-hmm. And then you don't show up. Or women who like join one of my boot camps or something. Oh, I'm going to do it. And then they don't. Mm-hmm. That's shrinking.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to like, doing the things you say you're going to do, having integrity. And if you break your promise to yourself, like, and not have integrity with yourself, that is like first and foremost, like detrimental to your self-confidence. And then also, I think a lot of times people shrink, like you said, and don't speak up because they don't know how to communicate effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you grew up in a household where it was like whoever got to the highest octave won the conversation, like you will avoid having conversations that feel like you think in your head this is going to be hard, when really it's not necessarily hard. It's just it's hard for you to find the words in a way that doesn't create anger, resentment, yelling, right? So like the grandma, it's like, grandma, I love you so much. I love that you come to the house and we get to spend time together and you always bring pizza. Could we come up with something a little bit healthier for you to bring? Because I love that time we have together, right? So it's that reframing.
Yes.
The conversation. But yeah, so I think a lot of times we're shrinking because we don't have the words, we don't have the confidence, and it's almost like we need permission to just like be the badasses that we are.
I would agree on that. I grew up in a family where like instead of the highest octave, it was like everybody just avoided.
Yeah. Walk out of the room.
Like it was like, there's no problem here. I'm going to go work out.
Good.
We'll see you till the end of the evening. You're going to be in bed already. I mean, like everyone dispersed, right? And so I think for a lot of people too, it's that avoidant personality too, where they just avoid it. And if they don't want to go to the gym, they can't feel the feels. They're just like out. I know I did that for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd shrink that way and just avoid.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they won't like shrinking also is not hiring your trainer, not hiring your mindset coach, not
oh, for sure.
the doctor. Because you feel like something's going on and you're just avoiding it. So I love, Dr. Jeanine, that you brought up the avoidance, because that too is big one. Big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like women do it a lot more. In terms of my practice, men versus women, I feel like women do it more. I don't know. What do you see in terms of practices at your guys' state of the game?
Yeah.
100% more women.
Yeah.
100, but like, yeah, definitely more women do it. And I think it goes back, you had brought up the 8-year-old little you before. And I think it so much goes back to like what we learned when we were kids and what was programmed in us. And girls were just taught differently. You know, if we spoke up, we were complaining and whining and nagging. And I know I was told that. I was always told like I was too loud and to sit down and you're complaining again. And so that always made me be like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm just going to go into the background so no one can see me. But yet my brothers were praised for being tough and talking, yeah, and you know, getting in a fight and standing up for themselves and being a man. I'm like, I want to be a man. Maybe a man. I think a lot of the program goes hand in hand with it too. But I have known men that shrink as well. It just looks so different. It looks so different. And
I think too with men, and I'm from like the professional arena, like they're wired differently. Like, for example, when I was in my 18-year career before I left to just focus solely on Happy Whole You and all the things that I do, I'll never forget it. I was in a car with my boss at the time, and I had my side business going on. And I remember he started to like lay into me about, well, what is it that you want? Do you want this? Do you want this? Like, you have the 6-figure income, you have all of these things, you have health insurance, like, or do you want this little thing that I know you're doing on the side? And what was crazy is like, I got really small in that car. And I was like, well, you know, I do love my job and I want to keep this and blah, 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 blah. When I knew in my soul, girl, you better freaking go. Right. But I got really small. And what's interesting is like, I live in America, number one. I can have multiple businesses. I can have a W-2 job. I can do whatever I want. But for whatever reason, and men do it all the time, it's like I got small and thought, oh, I have to choose either or. And it, you don't have to choose either or. And interestingly, another story was in this course I was just taking, this lady was like, yeah, I want to put this stuff out on LinkedIn that I'm doing this public speaking. And she's like, but I'm worried about, you know, what my job might say that I'm doing this as well. And so how should I go about this? And I'm like, I guarantee you, this is me raising my hand. I guarantee you, no man is out there not going to put up a post on LinkedIn about how they do workshops and they're a speaker because they have a W-2 job. Mm-hmm. They're not, it's just, I don't think that that's happening at the rate of women. Like, it's like either or, oh, I need to be a stay-at-home mom or I need to be a good mom or have my career. You can have both. It's not easy. I'll tell you right now, sometimes I feel like I'm failing as a mother. Sometimes I feel like I'm failing my business. I mean, let's be honest. But like, if you want it, like, go for it. But we shrink in the professional arena like no other. I mean, me personally, I'm trying to really step outside of that. And even with my speaking, I'm asking for the same compensation that they're paying men to come in and do workshops and speak, you know? But yeah. So how have you guys shrunk in your own professional careers? Can you share a story, please?
Because I just shared was very vulnerable. I love that. What comes to your mind, Janine? I'm trying to think of my career specifically.
Oh, man. I mean, I could go with a lot of examples. I think I've shrunk a lot, especially in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, like in the last year, I've kind of had more of an awakening of like what I really want to do I got really tied into like, I'm helping people, right? And at the expense of like everything. And for me, I kind of went to this like, well, it's best if I keep helping these people. I don't want to leave a particular practice because, you know, I'm in Tacoma part-time, you know, I was like, I don't want to let these people down. Right. But I do have this other side thing online going on. Right. And which one takes priority? Which one do I put here? You know, and what are they going to think of me? What are they going to think of me if I start, you know, if I get rid of insurance and do cash pay? What's going to happen? And so I shrink in the department of what are people going to think? And it comes in very multiple varieties of how it plays out. So that's one of mine. It's always, what will they think? And so what I've also found, and I was joking with you guys, I put on my ring to be slightly girly because part of me has always been a tomboy. And I really, yes, I like being a tomboy. Yes, I like my fitness kind of vibe clothes, but I'm about to get Dr. Anna Marie's jacket, which is going to accentuate, which I haven't done things like that before, right? I've have a history of being very tomboy and not showing parts of me and things that are fitting. And also that goes back to what are people going to think of someone going from yoga pants or like literally, you guys were joking with Lululemon, I'm more Athleta and baggy Athleta. So what are people going to say if I start wearing form-fitting things and I put on jewelry and
Makeup. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. What if you wore makeup? What would they say?
Like, I took a big leap. Like, oh, it was like 2017. I dyed my hair for the first time and it was like platinum blonde. I loved it. And I want to go back to it. But right now I live in a house where we can't, it's got hard water and we don't have a good water softener yet. Oh. So my person who does my hair was like, your hair's going to be banana yellow. Don't do it. And so I feel like I've lost, like, that was my little piece of girly. And then now I'm like trying to get that back. But it's still like, what are people going to think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then you shrink and you stay where you are and you stay safe. I love these conversations. And I have very much struggled over the last 7 years, probably a real good seven, of just rediscovering myself after my divorce, because I shrank in that marriage so much. And the moment I got out, my business boomed. I started a podcast. I discovered who I was for the first time in my life. But I also was told so many times, like, about my back. If I put a video up of me doing like pull-ups or like a lat pull down where it shows your, like, your back, I get more comments on that of like, oh my God, that's disgusting. Oh my God, your back is so big. And I'm not even that big. I'm not even that big. And then I was also told, like, oh, you should never wear a halter top. You only have to wear something with like really skinny straps or something, because no one likes a big broaded shoulder. Oh yeah, I want a woman that has a big back. Yeah. And that stuck with me. And so I would minimize my training of my back, or like, I'm like, you know how hard I worked to do pull-ups and now I shouldn't do them. Like, and I would wear certain things or not. I wouldn't take my shirt off in the gym. And I completely have tried to unwrap that, because I have in my head, like, who wants a fit woman? Like, men want someone that's like small and dainty and cute. And like, well, that just ain't me. And I'm working on it. I'm working on discovering my femininity too. But that, I think it altered my training too. I think it, like, I don't know. I didn't grow in all areas. And I've learned so much over the last few years that if you are stuck and you try to cap yourself in one area of your life, it caps and makes you stuck in all areas. Even if you think that's not true, no, you have a crappy relationship, you are going to keep showing up to the gym crappy. You are going to struggle with money and finances and your health and your gut and like everything. Everything is going to come to a halt and be like stuck in one area. And if you shrink, you're shrinking everything.
Yeah, I agree. I think too, the way we know we're shrinking is when in our gut, we know we want to do something different.
Yes.
Like, I think that's like the check-in with yourself. Like, am I shrinking? Because there are times when we can step aside to let someone else have whatever it is, right? So we purposely step aside to highlight or sacrifice our, I know, like, even with my children, you know, there's some sacrifices that are made, but there's a difference between sacrifice and shrinking who we are.
Yes.
And I think that that's a fine line, and we really need to like look at that. But trusting your gut, trusting that soul, that instinct, because that is something, like, if we go to the gut instinct, like, we can't lose. But we've been trained to just not listen to ourselves and to let the outside world influence everything.
I know. I hope everyone listening, like, I just picture like the mom in the car, like, or like this businesswoman driving to work, and she's just like listening to us and going, oh my God, I do that. Okay, yeah. I have awareness around this. And then just hearing other women talk about it and that awareness, right? That's step one. Step one to everything is having awareness and like admitting, like, oh my God, I do this. Yeah. Oh my God, I do look this way, or I do feel this way, or I do have that feeling deep in my gut. I'm who, you know, Dr. Anna Marie is talking about. And then once you have that awareness, you can start to make changes. And I hope that this episode just brings that awareness and just makes like these light bulbs go off for people. Absolutely. That's my hope.
Yeah. And not judging yourself from it too, right? Like, so there's an awareness piece, and then not judging yourself and beating yourself down, being like, oh, hooray, I realize I've been shrinking. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what do I get to choose to do differently? Or what do I choose to bring into my life? What do I choose to let go of in my life? So I'm not doing this as much anymore, and taking those small steps to become that person that, you know, deep down you're supposed to be becoming.
Mm-hmm. The key word you said was choose.
Yeah. Choose it.
It is a choice. Look at me. I got my pen in my hand. I'll get pointy. Get all pointy with that pen and pointing to people. But it is, once you have the awareness from that moment on, now you get to choose. Either choose to stay, or you get to choose to be active and move. Now you choose path A or path B. And again, whatever path you take, that's your choice and you're choosing, and let go of shame and guilt, because a lot of times there's not a right one and a wrong one.
Yeah. And just because you choose something one time doesn't mean that you can't choose something different the second time.
Oh, good point.
Not that all or nothing mentality.
I'm so a big fan of trying stuff on and see if it works for you. See if it doesn't. And definitely with career and business and going from doc of one, you know, aspect to now I'm transitioning much more to the spirituality, the like woo, a little more woo, like acupuncture to my Midwest family was woo, but now I've gone like, you guys have the tricks. I didn't show you this. There's something called the love tuner on. It's, have you heard?
What?
Oh, like, it's like you blow into it?
Yes. We got to get this Sigmar Berg. You guys, we got to get him on your podcast. This thing is like a little, it's like a little thing you blow. It's like a little harmonica. I don't think it comes through on Zoom, but like, can you hear? Does it come through?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. It's like 528 hertz. Anyway.
That's the heart of love.
Yes. Yes. And so I'm like, I got this thing on my neck. I'm like, I'm blowing on it. And like, I'm like, I'm getting in the woo. My dad, I have no idea.
So what does it do? What do you mean? Like, so you blow it and you're just bringing that into your life? Like,
well, yeah, the frequencies.
The frequency. Ooh. But like what it also does is like, say someone is not good at exhales. You can blow and make your exhale longer because you're blowing into the
like
thing.
An instrument.
Yeah. Right. You're like playing an instrument and you can like you can feel it. Like I feel it. Like, and it also is like Dr. Narissi, it's like going to, like she was saying, it's the heart thing. And that's why it's called the love tuner. But like, yeah,
that's cool.
I'm like getting way woo, but like, yeah, I was wearing it this morning. My dad's like, I don't know why you're around. I'm like, dude, you have no idea. And I don't care. You're 80.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And the other cool thing about that actually is when we exhale or like we blow into something or we hum, it activates your vagus nerve, which calms that autonomic nervous system. So it's actually, that's a great device. I love that.
We'll connect you two with him. He is
okay.
So chill. Love it. Like the whole like one lot, like, oh, I love the whole like vibe. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. All right. Before we wrap this up, what do you guys want to leave the listeners with?
Oh, me? It's choose you. Choose you. Stop shrinking. Stop comparing. You have all of this amazing knowledge that we brought to you today, this conversation, this energy, this level. And I just want everyone to stop and go, you know what? Once and for all, you know what? I am worth it. I can make changes. I can put tools in my toolbox. It's not going to be perfect. They're going to be messy, but I'm going to get as much support and tools that I need, throw it in that box, carry it with me, and then just pull out whenever I need it. And I think we all need to be reminded that it's okay to pick you, especially a female in this day and age. It's okay to pick you because then you are better for everyone else. Kind of going with your whole line. Happy you, calm you, yeah. You, the word is you. And that is important. Yeah. That's my message.
Love that. And Melissa, how can people find you and work with you?
Yes. My website is itsmelissabogelfitness.com. And then if you're interested in like my speaking engagement, all that stuff, it's just itsmelissabogel.com.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, Dr. Janine.
Oh, I'm going to piggyback on, yeah, choose you. And I'm also going to say, don't be afraid to try out different versions of you, because that's kind of what I've learned in the last couple of years is dabbling in different things and trying things on and being like, do I like this? Does it fit? And not being afraid to be like, that didn't work. I'm going to pivot to the next thing, or I'm going to pivot to the next thing. So be flexible, try on different yous, and always, yes, choose you. And you can find me at Dr. spelled out JKRAUSEND.com. And then of course the podcast is The Health Fix, also found at the same website. And on Instagram, I'm usually doing some kind of fun stuff. And that's at Dr. Janine, JANNINE Krause, KRAUSE. Yeah.
Awesome.
I didn't even say my Instagram or my podcast.
We'll put it all in the show notes so everyone can, it's just like, one click away.
Yeah.
One click away. Yes. I love it. And yeah, you guys, Dr. Anna Marie on Instagram, dr.anna2ns with an a.marie. And also my company is Happy Whole You on Instagram as well. Yeah. So you can go to the website too and check out ways that we can work together. And I am taking on for 2025, I am taking on 4 one-on-one clients that want coaching. So this is more executive level mindset coaching. And so I'm opening up my calendar for 4 more. And then I do keynote speaking as well. So if you are in an organization, you bring in speakers or whatnot, then I'm your gal. Maybe. I don't know. We might be good at it.
Wait. We have to tell people about your Sundays that you have at your office because I adore watching everybody come together and having fun. And I'm like, I wish I had a physical location like that where I could get like a tribe together of people hanging out.
Yeah, it's incredible. So at Happy Whole You here in Bakersfield, California, we do these things called Sundays for the ladies. And women come in and they pretty much do all sorts of the therapies that we have here. We have mocktails, small bites to eat. We do cold plunge together. We sit in front of the biocharger and we just walk around with, you know, robes on and slippers. And it's fantastic. It's like the one thing I love about Happy Whole You is it's not like, I don't want to say snooty, because I mean, I love myself a nice spa, right? But, you know, you go to a spa and it's nice and then you spend like $300 on a 60-minute massage and then you're like, okay, I mean, it was nice, but like we bring in that connection piece, right? Like I want to spend a day where like, yeah, I can go into a room and have my own time to myself, but then I can like come back out and just like either take a nap or chill or vibe with other people. So I don't know. It's an incredible experience that we provide here. And I love it.
I love that you do that. That's amazing.
I know we should do one where we all get together. I will gladly fly to California for that.
Because
spas, you're right. Like having owned one myself, like it definitely isn't the same as like having the connection and like the actual therapies versus like you go get your massage, you get your foot rub, you get, you know,
it's yeah,
cooler.
I know. Her place is so cool. I've been there.
How far are you from Melissa, from Dr.
How long did it take me? 3 hours?
Yeah, maybe 3 hours.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She came up. She was on one of the mindset and fitness panel that we did here. So it was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm.
I'll fly out for a Sunday for the ladies. You all have to let me know.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we'll plan it. Let's do it. I love it. Well, ladies, thank you so much. So I'm Dr. Anna Marie, host of the Happy Whole You podcast.
Melissa Vogel, host of the Bomb Mom podcast.
Janine Krause, host of the Health Fix podcast.
We will see you all on our platforms.
Thanks, everyone.
This podcast is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information in regards to the subject matter covered. This is given with the understanding that neither the host, practice of the practice, or the guest are providing legal, mental health, nutritional, or other professional information. If you need a professional, you should find one.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.